Is there a dog in a car at a bar on the street?
Yay!
Then that's a dog that we really want to meet. Hey! Can I pet your dog?
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 Please?
With Renee and
Alexis!
Y-D.
Welcome to Can I Pet Your Dog? I'm Renee Colvard, a fluffy pit bull owner.
I'm Alexis Preston, a scruffy poodle owner.
And this is the podcast for unapologetic dog lovers. Alexis Preston.
Renee.
Good to see you.
Good to see you.
How are we feeling? How are we doing?
We are all right over here.
Yeah.
Considering.
Sure.
We had a wild week. Right before this, Renee reminded me that there was a large earthquake a couple days ago that I have already forgotten about. But, you know, it's just all fun and games.
It's just fun and games at this point. I will say, isn't that a lovely thing? In that because it is constant fun and games, we'll call it, that just nothing seems like a big deal.
Yeah.
Something bigger is coming. Don't you worry.
No.
How did Crumb handle this
he
week's
didn't
earthquake?
Notice at all. I freaked him out. I probably traumatized the pets more than they cared at all. But
fair.
This... not to dwell on it, but this earthquake, for me at least, was much different than previous ones.
Sure.
Normally they kind of have a lower rumble start and then kind of build. And this one just right off the bat was like, boom, 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 boom. And so off, I immediately got up, grabbed Crumb, and then walked in a circle for about 20 seconds saying, where do I go?
What do I do? What did they tell me? Yes.
And then it stopped. And then I we ran and got the cats in carriers.
Right.
Which is not easy also. Put them in carriers and Jen just waited. And then was like,
Alexis, this is a lot of work in very little time.
If I were
to set a stopwatch, how fast do we suppose this all went down?
10 minutes.
That's pretty impressive.
Thanks. But
that's
then,
pretty
like,
impressive.
It felt like once the adrenaline had worn off, it was like, why are the cats here? They don't want to be. They're free.
Cats in a carrier.
What are they doing? Like,
yeah, exactly. Well, because you'll do the disservice of taking yourself to once the initial rumbling has stopped.
Yeah.
You're like, I should write this down so that I know what to do next. And gosh, they'll let you know that. Well, you know what? That could have just been a precursor.
Yeah.
Just get ready. You never.
Yeah.
That's not helpful. Mm-mm. I don't need that at this point. As you know, Tugboat did his signature bark at it.
And did just, it stop it?
And according to him, of course it did.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. He scared it away and was a little bit irked because he did that a month ago and thought that he had made himself clear.
Right.
That you're not welcome around these parts.
Mm-mm.
And yet here it comes knocking again saying, hey. Hey, we're back, much to Tugboat's chagrin.
The bark feels like it's the equivalent of he thought maybe like some big neighbor was just shaking the door. And he was like, stop.
Yeah. Exactly. Because he's listening. They've been loud.
Yeah.
And so I think he's upset with the disruption of it. My sweet, sweet parents, Hank and Peggy, were in town. And I got to tell you what, if you want a tutorial of how to follow every single step of how to safely visit a relative, you gotta talk to Hank and Peg.
Yeah.
I'm talking gloves. I'm talking bring in your own pillowcases. I'm talking Lysol. I'm talking four masks at a time. They've done it.
They wore
they've done it.
Four masks at a time.
Well, okay, that last part I exaggerated for effect.
Like,
but it's very hot, Hank and Peg. Why are you doing that to yourselves? Very sweetly, though, have road tripped their way out, just safety first. And in typical Hank and Peggy form, you immediately texted them, are you guys okay? And they just, they called because that's what parents do.
Yes.
If you text them, they'll call. That's protocol for kids to parent
pager,
relationship.
Right?
Yes, exactly. Just laughing, just having a good time. Your mom thought that maybe a little, room service cart had tipped over.
Oh my
God. Their initial. Maybe this is what's happening. But just the sweetest and so good to Tugboat the following day, making sure that both, I mean, they made sure I was okay too. But
right.
it's very sweet to have parents in town to let you know you're being ridiculous and overreacting at my age.
Yeah.
It's nice. It's nice. All right. Well, speaking of earthquakes, how about this episode, Alexis?
Oh, my goodness. Actually, though, this is
right.
I'm so excited for this episode.
Yeah, a lot of earth-shattering news,
yeah.
Right? We got some big stuff going on here. Would you like to tell our sweet, sweet listeners what they have gotten themselves into this very episode?
Yeah. We have finally, after what critics are saying, an eternity too long of waiting, very special guest, your best friend, but mostly Tugboat's best friend, Paul F. Tompkins is on the show.
Ah!
In addition, we have some crazy crumb boat. Tug finally got his DNA results, so we've got some floofy updates.
We know where that fluff's coming from. Exactly.
And then also, I took in a foster like a maniac, so I've got some updates on how that's going. We have a Mime Up Minute from Mark and George, and we have a dog joke sent in by not one, but two people sent the same joke, which to me is a sign of a good joke.
I tell you what, that's a joke of 2020, I believe.
Oh, and of course, Amplify. So.
Of course, yes. Of course. Well, I have commentary on all of this, but it's in this intro is not the place to do it. It's to do it in the next segment where you're supposed to add commentary.
Okay, we'll do
it. So will you join me
in the commentary section?
Yes, please. Alexis.
Renee.
This segment is called Crumbo, where we give updates on our dogs.
Yes.
And you stand before me is another dog haver.
A temporary.
Now, fill our listeners in. How did this happen to you, and what's the game plan?
Well, you know how in quarantine you think some things are going to be really good and easy ideas because you're not doing anything?
Of course.
So somebody had posted on that Nextdoor app that they had found a young dog in the neighborhood. And they were unable to take care of her in the meantime while looking for her owner. And I was like, yeah, I'll take her. No problem. This is going to be great.
Are.
Yeah. She's really cute. She's like a red cattle dog. And I was like, yeah, this will be great. I'll probably
She's
foster
really
her. She's
cute.
Really cute. I'll post pictures.
I would have done the same thing.
Yeah. I was like, what am I supposed to do?
Right.
And she's so sweet. She's like, truly, she loves people so much that walking her is a little bit difficult at times because she wants to run up to every person she sees and say hello.
Sweetie.
It's really cute. Yeah. Including strange groups of people. We're like, do not run into them. No, they don't want to say hi to you.
I feel like that's a safe choice.
Yeah. but I took her to the vet just to see if she's chipped, and she's not. And I was posting on, the things and searching for any missing things. And it certainly looked like she maybe didn't come from anywhere.
Wow.
Nobody seems to be looking for her.
But super friendly. Mm-hmm. Super friendly. And then not necessarily malnourished, right?
No, but definitely has a street vibe to her. She's pretty skittish, but in that way of you know when to sneak.
Yep.
So I can't fully tell, but I have another week with her, and then if no one shows up, she's gonna go live with my dad in Arizona.
Which is just incredible.
Yeah, she's gonna love it because there's 4 acres of land that she can just run around and do whatever she wants on. She's got a lot of energy, and I don't think would be the best apartment dog, if you will. But she is so cute. We're calling her Rooney, and she's just she's just a little love bug.
Couldn't love it more. I want to follow up two quick things. Rooney, where did that come from?
Rooney means red-haired in Gaelic.
Oh, excuse him. What?
I didn't just know that. Also, I looked it up.
Sure. As you should.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was just cute and it fits her. However, here's where the twist comes in too, where you hear me go.
That was going to be my second question. Yes.
And you're like, yeah, but so why aren't you keeping her? Crumb, it turns out, is super territorial in the house. And she's too rough with him. She's just got kind of big paws and puppy energy. And so they're just constantly screaming at each other. And they're fine outside. And Crumb loves dogs. I always thought if I ever wanted to foster, Crumb was going to be like, yes, a new friend. The moment you bring one into the house, no thank you.
No thank you. I like you outside of my house. That's where we're friends.
Yeah, and even I can bring them out to the yard, and they're great. They're having a great little time. We're just prancing around the grass. The moment they come inside, they're like, Rooney's trying to play, and Crumb, as he does, is trying to set the rules straight where he's still barking when she's doing things wrong, which is all the time because she's kind of a puppy. So it's just and they're always stealing each other's treats, and it's they're very sweet, but it has been so much chaos, and she's just a big rowdy girl.
utterly delightful from over here. I think if I were in your shoes, I would be like, this is why would I have done this to myself? I don't understand, but it is so cute. And I think I couldn't be falling more madly in love with Crumb becoming such a little rule, not only follower, but implementer.
Oh my God. It's like, he's on her more than we are. Like, she, like, the moment she's out of his sight, he has to, like, get up and go, like, watch her and be like, wait, where'd she go?
Of course.
What's
she doing? Let's keep an eye on this. Exactly.
I will say he barks. She's not quite housebroken. She's getting there. But his barks of she's peeing in the house have been pretty helpful.
Look at this. And you got to know that she's just like, man, come on. Don't tattletale that. Come on.
I know. She's trying.
Delightful. Well, obviously, we're going to need updates. Yes. And I genuinely love that she's staying in the family.
Yeah.
This is going to be
I'm excited.
The perfect scenario.
She's great.
I love it so much. Over here, you want to hear what's going on in DNA world?
I didn't know you were a scientist.
Well, I am. Okay. I am. I've conducted it myself. And then I just cross-checked my research with Embark.
Of course.
So I'm just, of course, yes. I have nothing to prove that this is happening. I just need you to take me at face value.
Gotcha.
So we, obviously, DNA tests for dogs, they're all the rage. Yes. We love them so much. So Tug did, I've got a fluffy pit bull. Pit bull, you can see. That part we know. But his ears are fluffy, his tails are fluffy, the elbows are fluffy. Where's that fluff coming from? So Wisdom panel said, you're right. It's a Staffordshire Terrier and something fluffy. And that's as far as Wisdom panel could get. So great. Yes. We love it. Took myself over to Embark. And Embark was like, you know what? We're going to pick up this ball where you left it. We're going to take it a little bit further.
Yeah.
So would you like to hear the Embark results?
Yeah, I'm going to.
Okay. Drum roll, please. 69.6% American Pit Bull Terrier.
Classic.
26.2% American Staffordshire Terrier.
Which, if you are like me and you're like, what is that? It's basically a pit bull.
Yeah, same thing. It's basically the same thing. Just pretty much the same thing. Yeah. Yep. Here's where the fluff comes in. Decidedly, here's what they're saying.
Okay.
4.2% German Shepherd.
Shepherd.
I obviously, anytime this doesn't go with the way that you predicted, because I said golden retriever, I bet my life on it. I was just like, well, okay, it's a hoax. It doesn't work. But I was like, well, how'd they get the pit bull part right then? That isn't in a photo. So how are you getting that part right? And then took myself to Google, Googled German Shepherd. I tell you what, those fluffs are identical.
They're really, just, I did the same thing. I was like, German Shepherd. Oh, German Shepherd.
Oh. Well, I'll be. That mane that I keep talking about, how that grew in, I'm like, oh, that's a German Shepherd mane.
It actually makes
that tail
more sense.
Yeah, I know. And something that is so funny. So obviously, he, you know, we don't need to get into it, but came from a bit of a odd background that we didn't love too much. And I am, you know, tickled at the person who was just like, I'm going to make a dog that you don't want to see in an alley. I'm going to make him a German Shepherd and all the pit bulls. And then my little cannonball was just like, 1, 2, 3, splash! An experiment has never gone so
wrong. That's so true. And you also have family members around?
Yes. Yeah. So in this, they had the relatives, and he's got, I was like, we already covered that. They came in. They were very safe. They thought it was the food cart tipping over. And the Embark. So just like 20 of the close family, which means as related to like a human, half sibling or an aunt and uncle or grandparents. And just all these pit bulls are in here. So I need to, I gotta reach out to some of these guys and see what their story is. Nothing more than 21%.
Still,
but there's a lot of 20%ers in here,
which is
significant, right? Definitely. Do you remember what Crumbs was?
Not off the top of my head. But
okay.
There were a couple ones I think that said that he had cousins. I don't think, you know what? He had some that were like a half sibling.
Right.
Yeah.
So same with, little Tuggington over here. But anyway, it's exciting and fun. But I tell you what. So now I've got the truth. Mm-hmm. And I think this is a really good lesson. And sometimes the truth isn't helpful. because immediately took myself, ran out to the streets to announce to the neighborhood, we've got it locked in.
Right.
There were people moving and the movers were just like, oh my gosh, what's your dog? And I was just arrogant to announce, well, he's the German Shepherd, Pitbull. And they didn't like it as much.
What?
Everybody seems to have a lot more fun with, I don't know, something fluffy. I wish you would tell me.
Yeah.
So I think I'm going to keep it.
I like it.
I think I'm going to say, I wish he would tell me. Because it just makes the interaction more fun.
Yeah. Yeah. The thing is, even when people ask me crumbs, which I also know, I think I tend to go like, you know, a poodle, chihuahua, scruff guy.
Perfect. That's perfect. Yeah, he's just a fluffy pit. That's it.
Because it's kind of similar where it's like, how much do you really want to know exactly what my dog is? It's like,
yeah, you don't.
Please don't break out the spreadsheet. I was just curious.
That's it. Yeah. I don't know why you have to do that to me. That's weird.
Yeah.
So there you go. We got 4.2% German Shepherd tugboat. There's where the fluff is coming from. But if you ask me on the street, I'll tell you I have no clue.
Love it.
Okay. Hey, Alexis.
Hey, Renee.
Do you know what time it is?
What time is it?
It is time for My Minute with Mark and George, the crocheted miniature dachshund. Hit it.
Woo!
Hi, Renee and Alexis. My name is Mark, and this is my minute for my boyfriend's dog, George. George is a miniature dachshund with dark chocolate fur and little tan booties. He's a very sophisticated boy and can always be found wearing his red bow tie. Despite only being 2 years old, George seems to think he's a 60-year-old man, and his favourite activity is sleeping. We always have to be careful when we sit down on the bed and check for little lumps under the covers so that we don't squash him. George doesn't really get on with other dogs very well, especially when they are too boisterous and bitey when they are playing, as he is very small and delicate. He much prefers the company of humans. He can be pretty sassy and won't be shy in letting you know when you haven't been giving him enough attention. George doesn't let the fact that he is stuffed and made from yarn stop him from being the happiest little old man. He's the perfect addition to our lives and is tidying us over nicely until we can move into our own place with a garden and while we wait for someone to invent a cure for my allergies. And time.
Mark, we love it. Great. It's great because I don't think that we ever said, you got a stuffed animal that's a dog? Do your Mima Minute about that.
No.
That's fine. Inclusivity. That's what we love here at Can I Pet Your Dog? Real dogs, other people's dogs, crochet dogs.
Yes.
Bring it in. Couldn't be more delightful.
Also, George is so cute. It's such a cute little crocheted dog.
I was going to say, we'll post it on Instagram,
yes.
But I do think this photo really makes up for it because it is. It's just a little pup that your Nana would crochet for you. That bow tie is prominent, accurate in the Mima Minute. And the link, I don't get along well with other dogs because they will tear me to shreds. It's a fair assessment of such a thing.
I'm just so genuinely delighted that I'm close to blushing. Like, I just feel giddy. It's so cute.
So delightful. It's so delightful. And I agree, Mark, that this is the perfect gateway dog between you and your allergies.
Definitely. Keep rubbing your nose in it and eventually
exactly.
It's just going to...
Exactly what we should do. Enchanting. Perfect. I love it so much. Alexis, if someone wanted to send in their Mima Minute about any dog they choose, how could they do such a thing?
If you have literally any dog in your life and you want to do a Mima Minute, go ahead and record it on your phone or whatever recording device you have and email it to us at canipetyourdogpodcast@gmail.com and we'll play it on this very show.
Hey, you like movies? What about coming up with movie ideas over the course of an hour? Because that's what we do every week on Story Break, a writer's room podcast where three Hollywood professionals have an hour to come up with a pitch for a movie or TV show based off of totally zany prompts.
Like that time we reimagined Star Wars based on our phone's autocomplete.
Luke Skywalker is a family man and it's Star Wars, but it's a good idea.
Okay, how about that time we broke the story of a bunch of Disney Channel original movies based solely on the title and the poster?
Okay, Sarah Hyland is a 50-foot woman. Let's just go with it, guys. Okay,
or the time we finally cracked the Adobe Photoshop feature film.
Stamp tool is your Woody, and then the autofill is the new Buzz Lightyear.
Join us as we have a good time imagining all the movies Hollywood is too cowardly to make. Story Break comes out every Thursday on Maximum Fun. I don't know why I'm using this voice now.
Hi, I'm Paul F. Tompkins.
And I'm Janie Haddad Tompkins.
I'm a comedian.
I'm an actress.
And yet, we're married?
And we're quarantined together because of the global pandemic and also because of love.
We started a podcast at the beginning of quarantine called Stay F. Homekins.
It was supposed to be a limited series that we thought would be done by now.
But we're still doing it.
Join us as we catch up and talk about whatever we end up talking about that week.
It's like having a couple friends over to your home.
Friends you can't see or talk back to.
Those kinds of friends.
It's just loose and fun. Let's not overthink it.
Come on. Stay F. Homekins comes out late Friday night or early Saturday morning, depending on where you live in the world.
Wherever you get your podcasts.
Stay safe, stay sane, and stay home.
Okay, you guys, it's impossible to do an introduction for this guest other than your favorite. He's your favorite comedian. He's your favorite actor. He's your favorite podcaster. So we're just going to go with... You guys, please welcome Tugboat's very best friend, Paul F. Tompkins. Welcome.
Hi, everybody.
Hello. Thank you so much for making time for this.
It's my pleasure. I'm thrilled to be here. We were supposed to do it a while back, and then I forget what happened. I think my schedule changed or something, or maybe.
Yes.
Who knows?
So I think probably a little bit before quarantine, and then quarantine happened, and then everyone was just like, oh, well, I can go for the biggest names because nobody's doing anything. I was like, well, I can't ask him now because everybody's going to be asking
him.
The biggest names. That's what we call you behind your back, Paul.
The biggest names. Oh, boy.
When we say biggest, we do mean longest also.
Sure.
You know what? That I will accept.
Yeah.
That's where that middle initial gives me the edge.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Of course. So obviously we have to talk about dogs. Tugboat's going to come up, but let's cover the other ones first before we get to Tugboat.
Let's get the opening dogs out of the way before the headliner.
Nobody's happy about it.
I can't believe I'm here this early to see the opening dogs.
People are skipping ahead on the 15 seconds.
Sure, waiting. Yeah. Everybody, thank God they put that 15 a seg button in there. We got to get in there. So now it was a little bit of a jealousy situation in our household, but you have neighbor dogs that you have befriended. That is true.
Yes.
And it was a long night at our house trying to explain you're allowed to have other friends. You're allowed to meet other dogs. Right. But will you please tell our sweet listeners about your neighbor pups that have been featured over quarantine?
Absolutely. I would love to. I started taking early in the quarantine, I started taking walks and I started going down streets of my neighborhood that I don't usually do, just like aimlessly walking, and it was really enjoyable and nice. And you know, one of the things that was great about it was it really made me like I like my neighborhood, but this really made me appreciate it even more, like just looking at stuff in a way that I don't normally do. And it was really nice. And so one day I was walking up this little street, and in the front yard of this house were these two dogs. A real odd couple. There was a big golden and a little, you know, one of those breeds of little dog.
One of them little ones.
Yeah. Yep. And they came up to the gate and they were immediately friendly and nice, tail wagging. And I wanted to, they were like getting right up against the fence because they wanted to be pet. And I at that point, I don't think we're supposed to do this
because there's
a possibility that either that the virus can live on their fur for however long enough to, you know, for somebody to pick it up.
Right.
And I was like, well, if I have it, I don't want to leave it. And if I don't have it, I don't want to get it.
Right.
So I just said sweet things to the dogs and then moved on. And then I made it a point to walk past there every day. And sure. I'm going to say it took like a couple weeks, because the next time I saw them, they just barked at me. And then it took
well, you
couple,
didn't pet them. That's on you.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. And they were letting me know that you did the wrong thing when we saw you.
Right.
Right. We gave you all the signs.
Yes.
And after a couple of weeks, then they just exclusively were happy to see me. Yeah. And I was taking video of them, putting them online. You can find it on Instagram under the hashtag Linda and Joan. There's one picture of Joan Collins and Linda Evans from Dynasty. And then the rest are pictures of these two dogs.
Of course.
Yeah. I would visit them every day, and they're so sweet and funny. And I guessed that their names were, I didn't guess their names. I guessed that they were female, and I started calling them Linda and Joan.
Sure.
And I did not even make the connection to Linda Evans and Joan Collins until I saw that on the hashtag. And I was all right. Yeah. And then after a while, I was going there every day, talking to them and visiting with them. And I think like it was a month or 2 months, like it was a long time.
Yeah.
I saw somebody, this little girl who lived in the house, mm-hmm. was on the front stoop. She was about to go in the house. And I got there. She was just about to go in. And I said, "Hey, excuse me. Are these your dogs?" She said, "Yeah." And I said, "They're so sweet." And she said, "Yeah." And I said, "What are their names?" And she right. said, "The big one is Thomas and the little one is Max." And it on. Blew my mind. Not just that I guess the gender wrong, but Thomas, like what a great name for that gold, big. He's an old guy, too. He's got like sure. the white around the eyes.
Aww.
I love it so much. I love it so much. And so then I finally got the idea to because I found. Like, I've had plenty of time to rearrange stuff in the house.
Sure.
And I found a box of surgical gloves that I think I bought as a prop for something and never used. And I was like, I'm going to take a glove and go over there and pet those dogs.
You genius man.
Yes. And I did. And it was it was amazing. It was like such a wonderful closure.
Yes.
And they, you know, and what was so funny was that, you know, Thomas is big. Max right. is very little. And so I would pet Thomas and then Max would go over to the side where Thomas wasn't. And then I'd reach through and I'd pet Max. Then Thomas would knock Max out of the way to get more pets.
Obvious. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got it. You're a little guy. You got to do what you got to do.
He's a real pet hog. Thomas is a real mm-hmm. pet hog. And I was like, so then it was like. Max is littler. How do I outwit Thomas to get Max some pets before Thomas comes over and knocks him out of the way again?
Right, right.
But they're really wonderful, sweet dogs. I adore them.
The journey of it was, because we've seen a lot of like wholesome, oh my God, finally, videos during quarantine. Yeah. There's been yeah. a whole show about it, some good news. None have made me cry like the pet with a glove. What a victory it was for
really
us all.
Yeah. They were really invested. There were people that I did not know that were following this that, you know, jumped in and said, oh my God, finally. It's nice. It was nice to see.
It's true. It's just the natural course of things. If there's a dog, you have to pet it. You completed the circle for us. So proud. So now, Paul, you're so good at befriending dogs. Did you have dogs growing up? How are you so good at this? What's your secret?
No, never had dogs. Always liked dogs. But we did not have them growing up. My parents had pets before we were born. They had six kids.
Oh,
so they got all that out of the way. And then when it was time for children, it's like, we are not bringing another mouth to feed into this house.
Fair.
It's like, fair enough.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've had cats in the past, but okay. I have never had a dog. My wife, Janie, is, she's been like doing a sort of very methodical and slow, campaign for us to get a dog. But it's not worked yet.
Okay.
It's
so now is the
yet.
Campaign against you for this? Who are we complaining against?
You mean yeah, getting rid of Paul?
To replace me with a dog, yes.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Are you having an election?
Is that trying to find your running mate? What are we doing here?
She is trying to wear me down, water on the stone style. And, you know, eventually it will happen. I picture it as when I'm a little bit older, though.
Okay.
And more close to retirement age, even though we'll never be able to retire.
I was gonna, only because your fans won't let you. We're like, get at it. Come on,
let's say that's why. Let's say that's why. But I see that happening more later. But okay. But yeah, I love dogs. Like there's I had a victory recently with friends of ours who also live in the neighborhood. Have a dog named Georgie. Georgie is an adorable little, she's like fluffy and shaggy. She's like one of those dogs that looks like Kris Kristofferson. she's really, really cute, but she's very like, she's not big with strangers. And even people that she's met multiple times, it's like, you have to really wear her down.
Right.
And so they came over for a distance hang in our backyard. And they brought Georgie, and they gave me a little container of treats, and they said, this is so Georgie will become your friend. So I spaced them out over the course of the evening, and she kept coming back to me. I got her to do a couple tricks and all that, but she would not let me pet her.
Right.
Okay. Would not let me pet her. Okay. But I kept, I like played with her a little bit. Like she loves to be chased. So she was just running back and forth under the picnic table. And so I was just going on either side. And then she kept, after the treats were gone, she kept coming over to me and I kept having to say, they're gone, you know, they're gone.
Yeah.
And she would do this thing where she would just nudge my leg with her nose to indicate I'm ready for another treat. And I would have to explain, I can't give you a treat. I would still reach down and try to pet her and she would, you know, skitter away. Mm-hmm. She does this, she does an amazing thing. This is very visual and I apologize. But she does a thing where she was staring at me, like just staring at me for the longest time. And I knew she was staring at me. And then when I would look down at her... She was legitimately trying to pretend that she wasn't staring at me. So I would look at her and she would, just like a human being, she would just look slightly away like, no, I was looking
Looking around and like, oh,
are you looking at me?
Were you staring at me? Is that what was happening?
It was killing me.
Oh.
But by the end of the night, she let me pet her.
Yes.
She was like very, very cautiously, but she was, she came in close to me and I reached out a hand and she didn't run. And I was like, oh, okay. And she was letting me pet her. She was being so sweet and so nice. Oh. By the next time I see her, we'll be back to square one for sure.
Right. Of course.
But
of
this course. Was, it made me so happy.
Yeah.
So happy.
Well, this
that
like,
she let me do that.
Crumb is one of those dogs. He doesn't like strangers. So hearing you're willing to be patient with her, I'm like, there are people that can do it, bud. You just got to wait. So often people just give up. They go, I don't know, he doesn't like me. And I'm like, no, he might. He's just...
It takes time.
Yeah.
Some dogs take time. Yeah,
he does.
Absolutely.
Paul, I think that's your sweet spot. And pretty close to what happened with Tugboat over here, who has never been great with anybody. Just is... His thing is
Man,
too much.
He's such a character. He really is like a weirdo. I love him so much. And he's so... He does such odd things. And he's got that face... He's hilarious to me. He's hilarious to me.
I have to say, like, a little bit a talent scout or just a one who sought out through a crowd. You're like, okay, we're gonna do something with this one. Just meant so much to us. Do you remember the first day that you met Todd?
Absolutely. No, I
okay,
fell in love.
Tell us all. How did it happen?
I fell in love with him instantly. He's a very handsome boy, and he's got a distinct look, and he just... As soon as I saw him, I was like, who is this guy? I was really, really excited to meet him. And he's very aloof. He's aloof, but patient. Like he'll let you pet him or whatever, but he doesn't give you any indication that he's enjoying it.
yes, yes.
And, you know, for me to get to the point where it felt like there was a glimmer of recognition. That's like, oh, I've seen this guy before.
I know him.
But I'm not yet at the point with him where he like jumps up on me to see me, like where he knows,
right.
Oh, if I see him, we're in for a good time together. And, you know, before the before quarantine, when I was going into Earwolf all the time, I was going to ask, like, when is a good time that I could come by and like toss a ball or a frisbee or something to play with him, just because it would be fun, but also to maybe establish some kind of rapport with him. But yeah, he's a man. He really makes me smile. He's like, he's so funny.
Mutual, because obviously, as we talked about, you're everybody's favorite. So we listen to Stay Up Homekins on a weekly basis. It's so good. You and
Thank
Janie
you very
are the
much.
Best.
Thank you.
But I swear he recognizes your voice because he always, but I think maybe what happens is he knows that voice means a treat or attention for me in some way.
And then it doesn't come.
It doesn't deliver.
It's like, what are the rules of the world anymore?
Come on.
Well, you know what? I feel like that's how dogs have to, that's how they have to suffer during quarantine, because right now they're like, oh, everybody's home all the time. This is awesome. Yeah. I have everything. This is what it's supposed to be, is that you're here all the time. You never go anywhere. Right. And if you do go somewhere, you go with me, and that's it.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to be very confusing for dogs when this is over. I don't know what they're going to do.
Yeah. We're not letting ourselves think about that part. It's just like, I feel like it'll just work itself out somehow, maybe. Who knows? Paul, we were going to do a very silly thing where Tugboat obviously misses his best friend and had a list of best friend questions to give advice. Obviously, you guys are best friends. Obviously, he's going to need some advice from his best friends.
Indeed.
I guess the first one is more just, you know, like regular complainy thing. I don't know if he needs advice. He just needs you to commiserate with him that he can't get comfy in his puddle. And if you just have any words of advice commiserating, what do you do, man? You can't get comfy in a puddle.
I know. I would say, like, stop. You can. One thing you can do is stop testing the puddles, because they're all going to be the same.
Sure.
And I would say that the initial feeling that you have when you lay down the puddle is as good as it gets. And so if you are into that, then you're set. If you're not into that, maybe puddles are not for you.
Oh, that's really good advice. You got to love them where they're at.
Yeah, it's tough love.
You can't change puddles. Yeah.
Yes. Puddles, you got to love them where they're at. That's right. You're exactly right.
Such good advice. Second question. This one, it's snarky. It's snarky, but that's what best friends do. They talk smack about things.
We like to roast each other.
You know how it goes. So we walk along a golf course. Two snarks. One, he's not allowed in. Two, would you agree that the squirrels inside that golf course he's not allowed in are a little more snooty than other squirrels?
Oh, of course. Okay. They have to be. Mm-hmm. They have to be, because I'm sure there's probably people that are feeding them. You know what I mean? I'm sure they're the kind of squirrels that if you walk up to them, they just stand there, which is always really unnerving. Like the ones at Griffith Park, that freaked me out the first time I encountered that, where I was walking and the squirrel did not get out of my way. Like, and I was like, oh, what happens now?
For an insurance claim.
Yeah, he wanted me to run him over. He's gonna do a bump and sue.
Yeah.
First of all, golf courses are the worst. Yeah. And I think that golf course squirrels, in addition to being extremely difficult to say, have to be the worst squirrels on earth.
You're such a good best friend. This
golf
is exactly what he needed to hear
squirrels.
From his best
golf
friend.
I got his back.
Golf course squirrels. And then finally, you know how best friends, like, you just have to like go through the like, oh, you've been talking about this for years. You're never going to do it, but I'll entertain the idea. Mm-hmm. Do you think he should get a job at the dog store around the corner? Should he? He talks about it all the time, but he's never put in an application.
Just like, what is the dog store?
Sure, it has a name. I guarantee it's some sort of pet supply store.
Okay,
but according to Tug,
right. That's what I assumed. But I thought, like, maybe there's a thing that I don't know about that is the dog store.
Yeah, the dog shop there.
See, exactly.
Everything's
that's
dog
what
hype,
I was picturing.
And they can pick whatever they want.
Right. You get it.
Look, who knows how long this is going to go on? So it's entirely possible.
It may come to that, Tug. It may come to that. And that's what we love, a best friend who will tell you the truth.
That's right. Can't predict the future, but I like to keep all my options open.
There you go. Bless you. Yeah. Bless you so much. Now, Alexis had actual good questions.
Okay. You are a notoriously well-dressed man. This is just fact. But I was wondering, what are your views on dogs and outfits? Do you like a fancy dog, or just a dog in a bandana? Ugh. What do we do?
Whoever invented those costumes that are like a person? Do you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, with like the arms
where you put
in
the
front.
Dog, yes, yeah. It gets me every time. It's always funny. It's always yeah. funny. But yeah, I love a dog in an outfit. If I a thing that I discovered recently because of my friend Kulap Vilaysak, that there are dogs that love putting on clothes.
Yes,
I didn't know that was a thing, and that makes me so happy that because they had a dog named Rocky who passed away a little while ago, but she would dress him up for. In a different costume every day in October.
Oh,
it was 31 buddy. Days of Rocktober.
Oh,
and
sweetest.
She would put Rocky in different costumes. And she said he would get so excited. He would jump up and down when I would like bring out the costume. And I was like, I never knew that was a thing. It makes me so happy to know that there are dogs that love to put on clothes.
Yeah.
Just the best. Yeah. It's good. It makes him happy.
Okay.
I'm glad the bandana thing stuck.
Yeah.
You know, because I remember when people started doing that, and I'm glad to see it still around and people put like a, you know, the baseball team bandana on there or, you know, whatever they want to express, whatever they want to make their dog express. Whatever they want to force their dog without consent to endorse.
Obviously.
Thank you. Yes. Yeah. It definitely changes the, the vibe of the dog if they're wearing a bandana. Like,
you think that dog is down to party.
Exactly, yeah.
That dog likes to have fun.
That dog's seen a horse, and that dog likes to party.
Definitely, he has seen a horse.
Universal signal, exactly. I've seen a horse. Thank you kindly.
Well, speaking of horse, you play a famous dog on BoJack Horseman.
That's right.
What a segue I've done.
That's perfect.
Now this is a tough question, but did you consult with real dogs to get into character?
I consulted with dogs with real dogs to make sure it was okay that I was portraying this dog.
Oh, excellent. Yeah.
You know, do I have your blessing? And
very responsible. Yeah.
Although I am not a dog, I am a mister, and so that counted enough for this dog council that I met with.
Great.
Perfect. Yeah. So responsible, yes. and what a banner job you did. Everyone agrees, dogs and humans alike.
You really do convey the personality of a golden retriever phenomenally.
Thank you. I'm very pleased that I was able to. I mean, it's pretty much 99% the writing, but I was glad that I was able to communicate that energy.
Oh, perfect.
It was everybody's favorite. Paul, I will keep you for 5 hours. I won't let you go, which is why we put a time frame on this so that you can actually enjoy dinner. But just so we're clear, if you're like, oh, she wanted to go. She didn't. She wanted to keep you for the rest of the night. Thank you. Sincere. Thank you so much for doing this. Yeah. We've got our last game of Name That Dog.
Yes. I can't wait.
Of course.
Yes.
So at the very beginning, when we were talking about your neighbor dogs, we all knew, okay, there's one. It's a golden retriever. That's a big dog.
Mm-hmm.
And then a little dog that nobody quite knows what it is. So, but I think we all know the universal little dog is a Chihuahua.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, okay, we got that one. So we're looking for a Chihuahua, and it is a boy.
Mm-hmm.
What would you name that dog? And thank you for taking this as seriously as it is.
Honestly, the first thing that popped in my head is Chattanooga.
Chattanooga the Chihuahua. Yeah, of course. Of course.
You can call them noobs. Yeah. You know what I mean? There's so much nickname potential in there. Chatty. Like there's all kinds of stuff. Yeah.
It's so good. Yeah. Okay. And I think Chihuahua occasionally, and this is stereotyping and it's not fair of me, but they can be notorious for being just a little, you know, a little grumpy, little crabby dogs. Your name's Chattanooga. I think that's going to change your entire personality. I think you're just going to roll with it. You're going to be fine.
I think honestly, because Chihuahuas are so yappy and they're like on guard all the time.
Mm-hmm.
They can come off as, you know, not, they can come, it seems like it's coming from a place of weakness sometimes. But I think the name makes a big difference. Yeah. That if they have a sort of tough sounding name, you may think, oh, okay, this dog is in charge.
Right.
He's taking care of things. He's being protective. He's not scared. He's trying to make me scared.
He's handling it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. He's handling it. Exactly.
So much. Yeah. I honestly don't think there's a human I love more than you. The best. But just you are. You're just so, that thing of like sneaky kindness. You do it so masterfully.
That's right. You're like, the only one who's discovered my kindness. Everyone else thinks I'm old.
Disagree. I don't think anybody does. It's just, you just scoop people up and make them feel great. Me, my dog, across the board. You're just the best.
That's very kind of you to say.
Obviously, we're obsessed with all your stuff, including, but certainly not limited to, Stay of Homekins is so good. You and Janie have such a good show. I feel like all of our, we have 100% of our listeners are already listening to your shows. Is there other places?
Tell them to tell people. I am PF Tompkins on Twitter and Instagram, and I do a monthly show with Lauren Lapkus where we just do a two-person improv show, and that's the first Monday of every month. The next one is October 5th, I believe. And it's very silly and very fun, produced by Dynasty Typewriter. And I'm also going to be doing another streaming show, The Thrilling Adventure Hour, on Saturday, September 26th. It's all the original cast members are going to get together, and it's that's going to be a lot of fun. We haven't done one in a while, so I'm really looking forward to it.
That's awesome. It's a home run every time. And a little bit, I will warn listener, it does make you a little angry that people are that talented. It does make you a little like, okay.
It's a good group.
You don't all need to be that good.
I'm sorry. And the newest thing is I'm co-hosting the newest official Star Trek podcast with Tawny Newsom. Yeah,
that's incredible.
I don't know how that happened, but that comes out on Mondays, I believe. It's called Star Trek: The Pod Directive.
Awesome.
The first episode just aired earlier this week, as of this recording, and it comes out on Mondays, and it's
amazing.
It's really fun. It's not about specific. You know, Star Trek series. It's an interview show, and Tawny and I talk to various people from all walks of life who have been influenced by Star Trek about their lives and how what Star Trek means to them and how it's influenced things that they have done. You don't have to be a Star Trek fan to listen to it. It's a lot of interesting conversation.
That's awesome.
Yeah, sounds like you'll turn into one though if you tune in. Should be like, maybe. Oh, Star Trek did all that.
It just might wear you down. Yeah.
Sure. I love it. I love you. Thank you so much for making time for this. You're just the best.
Thank you.
This was so much fun. Thank you for having me, you guys.
Thank you.
Pet those dogs for me.
Renee.
Yes, Alexis, what can I do for you?
Well, we're on a tight schedule. We just finished my month minute, and it is now joke o'clock.
It is joke o'clock, and I appreciate you keeping to the schedule that we have laid out.
Of course. It's important.
Yes.
So this.
All right. Well, let's get to it.
Okay. This joke was sent in by not one, but two people. Morgan Becker and Jesse Doyle both sent this in. And I do want to take a little side note in that Jesse said this is her late grandfather's favorite joke, which is very sweet.
I love it. Okay.
All right. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
So a three-legged dog walks into a bar. The bartender asks, "What can I do for you?" To which the dog replies, "I'm looking for the man who shot my paw." But it's his paw.
Yeah. His paw.
His paw.
His actual.
His like little foot paw.
Got it. Like, yeah, his foot, but it's a paw.
Yeah, it's a paw. He's looking for the man.
And then are we done with the joke?
That's the whole joke. Pretty good, right?
Okay. I like it. Now, I am not a joke writer. I don't stand before you as one. Mm-hmm. But I do feel like the play on words paw could be implemented. Because is that how a lot of saloon people walk in? Are there a lot of paws getting shot? I'm missing, I didn't know that was a regular premise.
You know, cowboys are always looking for revenge on someone.
Okay. Okay. All right. Well, good.
It's pretty similar to the plot of The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, I think.
Okay. Okay. Well, in that case, yes. Yeah. That was the thing that I was missing, is I wasn't researched enough to appreciate the grandpa's favorite joke.
Yes, of course.
So I think grandpa's right. I'm wrong. Going to go watch Good, Bad, and the Ugly. And then I'm going to come back. And boy, are you going to get a guffaw out of me, because I'm going to have references.
There are no holes in this joke. Wait. I was trying to do like a paw with shot. Like there was, but I realized that's just a visual thing for me to think about. Anyway. Okay. That's dog jokes.
Everyone loves them. Alexis Preston.
Renee.
It's time to amplify, my friend.
Amplify, my friend.
Now, I think, understandably, we're getting real close. We're getting to real close to this election coming up. And I do think we can all agree that, well, that's where your focus should be. You gotta focus in on that election.
Yes.
So what we'd like to amplify from now until November 3rd is just helping people. How do we help you vote? How do we make that easy on you? So each week we'll talk to you about people who are not only helping you, listeners, make sure that we get you to vote, but together we can all help everybody vote. So Alexis, this week, how can we help people vote?
Okay. This week, so I think this is a great tool. If you're feeling nervous about the process, or you just want more information on who you're voting for, because you always go in and you're like, cool, I know the main one that I'm going to do. And then you forget that you're like, oh, there's like a bunch of
16
people
other
on
things on
these
here.
Are crazy names. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yes. And instead of just trying to spell words with your ballot this year, head on over to ballotready.org. It's a really cool website. You can like make an account if you want, but they have information. You enter your address and it gives you what your ballot will be. And it's like this interactive, there's a ballot that you can go through that tells you about all the different candidates that you're voting for and their stances. And it just like to get yourself acquainted with everything that's going to happen. And that's for anyone. Like you can just go in there and you can also create like a sample ballot and then print that out for yourself. So you just have a reference of what you're going to do and you don't even have to think about it on the day.
That's incredible. Everybody loves a cheat sheet.
Yeah.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
I love this and I'm so grateful that this exists, because I agree with you completely, is that it does. It feels a little bit like a pop quiz where you studied for the one answer, but you didn't know the rest of this was going to be on here.
Yes.
So that is so nice that you can go through and just be like, okay, go over it one more time. Where am I going? What's the website?
You're going to ballotready.org. That's ballotready.org.
Perfect. All right. I'm going there now.
Cool.
Hi, I'm Dave Hill from Before, and I'm very excited to bring Dave Hill's Podcasting Incident back to Maximum Fun, where it belongs. You can get brand new episodes every Friday on MaximumFun.org or, you know, wherever. And while my partner Chris Gersbeck and I might lack in specific subject matter on our podcast, we make up for in special effects. Chris, add something cool right here. Also, we have explosions, animal noises, and sometimes even this. Dave Hill's Podcasting Incident, every Friday on Maximum Fun. Chris, do another explosion right here.
I don't think we can beat this episode.
Stop.
I think this might have been our best one yet.
I know. If you think about it, we had Paul F. Tompkins.
Yeah.
Tug's DNA results finally.
Yeah.
I have an insane foster dog.
And there's a crochet dog for my Mutt Minute. I don't think we're going to be able to top this.
Let's try.
Okay. I was just going to say to you, like, I want to tell the listeners I'll see them next week, but I just want to let them know that I know that it won't get better.
Yeah. We're acknowledging right now that we're going to try and do this good from now on, but please just go back a couple episodes and be like, nah, it's back to normal.
Sure. Okay. You got it. Yeah. You got it. Okay. Good, good, good. Well, for there we go. You guys, we're going to see you next week. We love you so much. Until then, Alexis, can I pet your dog?
Can I pet your dog?
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
audience supported.